Hey, how you guys doing this morning? You guys doing all right? Hey, like Pastor Ricky was saying, we are just so excited to have you here with us today. Seriously, thank you so much for joining us. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name is George, and I'm one of the pastors here at Brave Church, and I'm excited to be here. It's been a little while since I've been able to do this. I've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, production and kids and all sorts of things, but I'm excited to be here because today we're starting in a brand new series entitled Weights. Everyone say weights.
Weights.
Let's try that again. Everyone say weights.
Weights.
Everyone turn to the person next to you and ask them how much they weigh. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Do not do that. Hey, we're going to be starting this series called Weights, and basically for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be talking all about the junk that we carry with us in and through our lives. And if we're being honest, we all have things, we all have weights in our lives that sometimes mess things up. And in this series, we're going to be talking about a couple of scriptures found in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll put them up on the screen. This is basically going to be like the center of this whole series. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses." Now pause here for a moment. We don't talk like this in 2017, but it's actually really simple what it means. Have any of you ever been to a live sporting event? Live sporting event, put your hand up high. I like participation. Thank you. Hand down. Have any of you ever been to a professional live sporting event? All right, cool. They're incredibly fun, am I right? What's your favorite live sporting event to go see? You can shout it out. College football. Everyone always says college football. It's because that energy, right? Anything else? Hockey. Hockey is a good one, too. So, basketball, baseball. There, lacrosse. Did somebody say lacrosse? You like watching lacrosse live? Nice.
Gymnastics.
Very good. Hey, look, so there are so many sports that are enjoyable to watch live, and at the risk of separating myself from the vast majority of you, I've got to confess something with you this morning. Uh-oh is right. My favorite sport these days, and for the past few years, to play and watch, please hold the tomatoes and the booze, it's golf. Okay, hey, we got some applause. This is a holy place. Look, golf, I always find it funny because people who say golf is boring or they don't like golf, either one of two things is they've never played golf before or they're really bad at it. And what they say is, I don't like it. But golf is a really, really incredible game. It takes so much physicality and mental fortitude to be good, to play at an elite level of golf. And I had always wanted to see golf played live, like on a PGA professional level. And a while back, I was actually able to go to a professional PGA tournament. Have any of you ever been to a professional tournament? Okay, cool. More than I thought. It's really amazing when you actually go out there and watch these men hit that little ball with such power and such accuracy. And I was so excited to be there. There was a ton of professionals there, but one of my favorite was actually going to be in this tournament. If you know golf at all, you know the name Jordan Spieth, right? Jordan Spieth, he's like the new kid on the block. He's one of these young guns that's coming up, and he's becoming kind of one of the champions in the game. And he was there, so I was excited to be there. I was with my brother and my sister. My sister was excited to see Jordan because she thinks Jordan's cute, but we'll talk with her later about that. But I was there because I wanted to see this kid play the game of golf. And it was really cool. I remember this one moment. Jordan was walking off one green and onto the next tee box. I've already lost some of you. Because some of you have no idea what that means. But basically, Jordan had just finished a hole, and he was walking onto the next hole. There's 18 holes in a round of golf, if you didn't know. So he's walking off the green onto the next tee box, and there's like this pathway that he's walking across that's no bigger than a couple sidewalks in width, and there's just rope lining both sides, and there's a huge crowd of people lining the ropes, hoping that he might high-five them, autograph something, shake their hand, whatever, say something to them. And Jordan Spieth, I'm on the rope, all right? I'm pushing kids aside. I'm like, I want to see this kid. I mean, he's good. At the age of 22, he won $22 million playing golf in 1 year. He's a champion, okay, in every sense of the word. And I wanted to just be there to see him, and it was really cool. I remember it to this day. He's walking through the ropes, and me and him, we had a moment together. We had a moment, okay? I've just got to tell you, and it was really cool because he's walking through, and we make eye contact. And we do what every two men do when they make eye contact with each other. Men, you know exactly what you do. You don't wave, you don't smile, it's just a... I'm not kidding. He walked by, made eye contact with me. He was looking right at me, not my beautiful little sister. I'm gonna say he was looking at me, and we just both head nod. You know, women, they smile, they wave, they say hello. Men just do this all the time. And he's walking on through, and I like to believe that it's because of that connection me and him had that he's gone on to achieve so much success in his career. So if you're a Jordan Spieth fan, you're welcome. You're welcome. That was me and him. I really inspired him in that eye contact, that head nod moment. But basically what we were doing is we were a crowd of witnesses. That's all a crowd of witnesses is. That's all that the writer of Hebrews is trying to get us to see. He's trying to show us that there's this huge crowd of people. And it's people that have gone before us. It's heroes of the faith that have gone before us, and they're cheering us on as we run our race, this race that we call life. And Hebrews 12 goes on to say this: therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great, huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. This entire series is going to be on that, really based on that one line right there. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Everyone say weight. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down. This is the phrase that we're going to be centering in on throughout this series, because the truth is we carry weights through this life. We carry junk through our lives, and we carry them into our relationships, past baggage. We carry sin with us. We carry hurts and habits and hang-ups with us everywhere that we go, into our workplaces, into the way that we parent, into the way that we treat our spouses, into the way we treat our own family, our neighbors, the way we have relation with God. We carry weights with us everywhere we go. We carry junk with us, and the truth is those weights get in the way. They mess things up. And the one question that we're going to keep coming back to throughout the entirety of this series is this right here: what are you holding on to that's keeping you from becoming the person you were meant to be? What are you holding on to that's keeping you from becoming the person you were meant to be? We're going to be focusing today on the back half of that question. We're going to be coming back to that every single week throughout this series. But today we're focusing in on the back half, the person you were meant to be. Here's why. Before we talk about the weights that we're carrying around, we should talk about what those weights are holding us back from, right? Doesn't that make logical sense? Okay, so we have weights, but what are those weights even holding us back from? And they're holding us back from becoming the people that we were meant to be. Everyone say meant to be. Meant to be. It's a word that we call purpose. Everyone say purpose.
Purpose.
That's exactly right. You see, every single one of us, if we were being honest, we want to be something. Every single one of us in this room, we want to do something with our lives. We have an ideal version of us in mind. We have a better version of us in mind. Maybe that version of you is skinnier. Maybe that version of you is stronger, is better at getting into the gym, waking up early, hitting the road and running. Maybe that version of you is better with budget and finances. Maybe that version of you doesn't have an addiction. Maybe that version of you is better at communicating with your spouse or communicating with your parents or your kids. We all have a better version of ourselves because we all want to believe at the core of all of us, this isn't just a Jesus thing or a Christian thing. It's at the core of us as humans. We want to believe there's a purpose for our life. Amen? We want to believe that we're not just some cosmic accident, that we were put here on purpose. Isn't that true? That's what we all want. We all want to find this thing that we call purpose. And I want to help you discover your purpose today, because it's what we were meant to do, live with purpose. Everyone say purpose one more time.
Purpose.
You see, in each of us is this nature to ask why. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Why did you give me this? Why did you do that? All those questions, it's wired into us. Think about kids. Parents, you know this. You tell your child to do something, and they fire back with a one-word question. What is it?
Why?
Why? Hey, you can't have candy for breakfast. Why? You can't go to sleep at 2 a.m. Why? You got to do your homework. Why? The sky is blue, the grass is green. Why? Kids always ask that question. I live with 2 kids in my house right now. Lillian's at that age where she is always asking why. She just does all the time. Why? 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 It's wired into us as humans to ask why. And the truth is that never really leaves us. Maybe we don't ask the question, but the truth is all of us want to know the why for our lives. All of us want to know the purpose for our lives. Isn't that true? So here's what we know that is true today, that there are so many people that are walking around this life and they've lost their purpose. There's so many people that walk through this life and they're just wandering through this life aimlessly. And they don't say it like that. They don't talk about it like that. For them, life is just you wake up, you go to work, you make money, you come home, you argue with your spouse, you watch TV, you go to sleep, you wake up, you go to work, you make money, you argue with your kids, you watch TV, and you go to sleep. And it's just this constant repetitive cycle. And these people aren't really achieving their maximum potential. They're not really living out their purpose. We see it all the time. Maybe you see it in someone else, or maybe if you're being honest, you're in that place right now. It's been a while since you've considered what you're purpose might be. And today my hope is to help you find your purpose, to help you find your why. And here's why your why is so important. Because when you find your why, you find your way. That's good preaching right there, so I'm going to say it again and you guys are going to have a better response. When you find your why, you find your way. Amen. That's good right there. Look, listen, if you plan on tuning me out the rest of the service, take that with you, please. If you plan on just logging onto Facebook the rest of this service, okay, fine, do what you do, but remember this right here. When you have lost your way, go back to your why, because when you find your why, you find your what? So if we find our way by finding our why, that's what we're talking about today, finding our why. So today's talk is all about our why. It's all about our purpose. And we're going to be talking about what purpose is and where it's found. But there's one foundational thing that you need to know today about purpose. This is for every single one of you in this room. This is for me. This is for all of us. The one thing that you need to know is you have a purpose. Guys, that is a good thing, that you are not an accident. You're not here by happenstance, that you have a purpose. And that purpose comes from your creator. And it's a really incredible thing to think, right? That the creator of the universe, the one who created the stars and the galaxies, the suns, the moon, he created the planets, everything, the world that we live in, he also created you, and he did so with a purpose. If he didn't do that and that wasn't true, we would all just be cookie cutter people, right? We would all just be kind of robots walking through this life. But he gave us a purpose. He gave you and I a why. Amen? We have a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, it says this if you need convincing this morning. For I know the plans. Everyone say plans. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans. Everyone say plans. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future. Everyone say a future. And a hope. I don't know about you, but when I read that scripture, it sure seems to me that God has a plan for us in mind. Amen? Amen. That he has a purpose for us in mind. And it's a purpose, it's a plan to give plans of good and to give us a future and a hope. And that is an incredible thing that God is thinking about us. Because you don't make plans without thinking, right? God has you on his mind. Have any of you ever gotten a text from somebody and that text was, hey, I'm thinking about you, or hey, I miss you? Aren't those texts like, they're really sweet, they're really nice. Like, hey, I'm just thinking about you, I'm praying for you, I love you. My fiance, she is so, so good at this. I'm such a bad person because she's so much better at this than me, but she's constantly showering me with so much love. And this morning, I just wonder if God's trying to maybe text some of you today. I just wonder this morning if God's trying to get a hold of you. You kind of got your head in this life and the chaos and the noise of this life, and he's just trying to get you to look at him and understand that you don't have to live day to day, paycheck to paycheck. You can live with a why. You can live with a purpose. this. That's what God's trying to tell us today as Brave Church. Amen? That's a good thing. You have a purpose. So what is purpose and where do we find it? There are two things today that we need to know about purpose. There's two dimensions to God's purpose for you. The first dimension to God's purpose for you is your unique purpose. This is the purpose that most people think of when they think of having purpose. This is the purpose that relates to our distinct temperaments, our abilities, our experiences, our spiritual gifts, our education, our passions, and our spheres of influence. This is that purpose, that dimension of purpose that every single one of us want to believe is there, and it is there. We just have to discover it. It's that unique purpose that means God created you for a reason, and he crafted you, and he gave you those strengths for a reason. He gave you those gifts and those abilities and those passions for a reason. Every single one of us in this room, we have a unique purpose. Everyone turn to somebody around them and say, you have a unique purpose. Everyone turn to the person that was your second option, don't take offense to that, and tell them that they have a unique purpose as well. Look at what Ephesians 2:10 says. Ephesians 2:10, it says this, for we are God's masterpiece. We are God's what? Masterpiece. His greatest creation. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned. There's that word plan again. He planned for us long ago. You are God's greatest workmanship. God handmade you this morning. And some of you need to hear that today, that you are handmade for a reason, that God has a great why for your life, that he wants to do something in and through only you. Scripture is so clear. We could literally go all across Scripture and find other ones that support this exact thing, that we were made with a unique purpose. And what's cool about this is it means that long before you were ever thinking about God, he was thinking about you. Before you were even walking this earth, he was thinking about what you would do with your life and the great things that he wanted to do in and through your life. Isn't that incredible? That the God of the universe would care that deeply, that he would plan for us to walk down a path before we could ever even walk. That's how long he's been thinking about you. And the second dimension to God's purpose for us is the more important, the foundation to it all, it's universal purpose. And the universal purpose for all people, for all believers, so we have a unique purpose, but we also all have a universal purpose, the common denominator between us all, and that is to know God and make him known. Amen? Amen. That should sound familiar to you at Brave, because that is why Brave exists, to know God and make him known. Can you go back to that slide real quick? Because it also means spiritual growth and spiritual reproduction. Maybe you needed it worded a little differently. We all have a universal purpose to grow in Christ and let others know about him. Think all the way back to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, the first people ever created, the first people to ever walk this earth, they were simply created to walk and talk and have relation with God. That's why they were there. And God wants that same relation with you. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. To prove this point even more, God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says, and he has invited you into partnership. Everyone say partnership. He has invited you into partnership with his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen? Amen. God wants us to know him. He wants us to have relation with him, real intimate relation. And five, it also says the universal purpose for all of us also challenges us that it's not only to know him, but it's also to make him known. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28 says this. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all the authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Scripture also says that we're to be the salt of the earth, the light of the earth. So I'm going to put it like this. God's universal purpose for all believers is to know him intimately and proclaim him publicly. If you are a tweeter out there, that's good right there. Just make sure you tag me in it, all right? Because I want credit for that. Our universal purpose is to know him intimately and proclaim him publicly. Amen. So each of us in this room, we have unique purpose. That is, God has gifted you. He has appointed you to do something very specific with your life. But he's also given us this more foundational purpose, which is our universal purpose, to know him intimately and proclaim him publicly. And what's great about the universal purpose is it spans through all people. It's what is a common denominator between every single one of us in this room. And it doesn't matter what you do today. It doesn't matter what you do for a living, whether you help, you own a $1 million business or you are a homemaker. It does not matter what you do today. You can do this right here. Know him more intimately and proclaim him publicly. Amen? Amen. That is our purpose. So we know what purpose is. It's unique. It's universal. But where do we find it? This is where so many people get off track. They might one day, you know, maybe when they were younger, they're like, yeah, I have a purpose. I want to do something. You know, you're in college. You want to go seize the day. You want to change the world. And then you get into the workforce and you get into corporate America and everything changes and you kind of just put your head down and just go to work. And that's pretty much all that you do. But today I want to help you know where to find your purpose. And in order to help find our purpose, we should really look to one man in Scripture, a man by the name of Nehemiah. If you've been around church world at all, you've heard Nehemiah's name because Nehemiah is widely considered to be the greatest leader in all the Scriptures. And maybe you didn't know this, but to be an incredible leader, you have to have incredible purpose. You have to have a deep passion for your why. So we're going to look to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1, it'll be on the screens. You can read it there, or if you're following along, you can open it up. Nehemiah chapter 1, he found his why. So we're going to look into the life of Nehemiah and find out how he found his why so that we can find our why. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1 says this: in late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of the king, our taxes are due. PSA, your taxes are due soon, guys. King Artaxerxes' reign, I was at the fortress of Susa. Next scripture, please. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me with some other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. Next verse. They said to me, things are not going well for those who returned to the province of Judah. Nehemiah gets some bad news. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Pause there. Nehemiah, just to give you some context on the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, at this point, he kind of just shows up into the Scripture. We don't know really much or anything about him before this. Nehemiah is a cupbearer. Nehemiah is a very high-ranking official. He is a very trusted person to the king. So he is held in high esteem. He's kind of the king's right-hand man because when you think of cupbearer, I want you to think of like the head of the Secret Service. This guy was the one that protected the king from being poisoned by literally tasting everything before it ever went to the king. So Nehemiah, he had a good gig. He had a great job, and he had the ear of the king, and it was a very special place for him to be. But on this particular day, Nehemiah's purpose is ignited deep within him. Because Nehemiah goes on later on in Nehemiah, you should read it for yourself, seriously, it's an incredible book. Later he goes on to do something that everyone thought was impossible. Nehemiah left his job as a cupbearer, and he went and he led one of the greatest construction projects in the history of the Scriptures. And I think it's 52 days, if I remember correctly, Nehemiah rebuilds the entire wall surrounding Jerusalem. And to us, that's like, okay, you built the fence. Woo, big deal. But to them, that was a very big deal. The wall was their protection. It was a sign of power. It was a sign of protection. It was a symbol for so, so much. So Nehemiah goes from being a cupbearer and he goes to live this great purpose to lead God's people to do something everyone thought was impossible, to rebuild this wall. How did he get there? He found his purpose. He found his why. Nehemiah found his why, his purpose, in three places. And it's in these three places that I want each and every one of us to go look into as we try and discover our purpose. The first place, if you are keeping up with what we just read, the first place that Nehemiah found his purpose was in one person. Nehemiah found his purpose in one person. Nehemiah knew where to turn. You see, scripture goes to, it says that Nehemiah, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. Nehemiah didn't go to himself, oh, I can do this in my own power. He didn't go to a family member. He didn't even go to the king. Nehemiah went straight to God because Nehemiah's heart was broken for the people of Jerusalem. He found his purpose in one person, just like you and I do. That is Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're looking for purpose today, the buck stops here. Your purpose, your why, it comes to life in the person that is Jesus Christ. Your purpose is found in your Creator. It's found in Jesus. It's in him that we are made new. It's in him that we reach our fullest potential. Some of you need to hear this today. We are not equipped to designate our own purpose. We are not equipped to designate our own purpose. Only the Creator gets to designate the purpose of a product. Isn't that true? Let's say, you know, I've already told you guys, like, I'm a fan of golf. Let's say I wanted to go golfing one day, and I just filled my bag with a bunch of fishing rods, and I called them golf clubs. Does that make them golf clubs? No. Because I didn't create those fishing poles, and I can't designate what their purpose is. Only the Creator can designate the purpose of the product they've created. And too many people, they're looking inward to find their purpose. Look upward. Amen. Too many people, they're looking to family members, they're looking to friends, they're looking to self-help books, they're looking to Oprah, okay? People looking everywhere instead of to Jesus Christ, where your true purpose is found, where your true value is found. You are so valuable. You are so loved that God sent his son to die for you. He sent his son to die for you. And it's in the shadow of the cross this morning that you and I can come to our knees and find our true purpose for this life. So the first place we find purpose, it's in a person, Jesus Christ. It's where Nehemiah looked. The second place that we find purpose, this one may seem a bit odd, but I'll explain it, in a problem. Attached to it, what breaks your heart? You see, Nehemiah encountered a problem that really bothered him. Nehemiah is hanging out. He's the cupbearer, and his family comes to visit. His brothers come to visit, and his brothers tell him that Jerusalem is still in shambles, that nobody's had the motivation and the inspiration to go rebuild the walls. And just to put this in cultural perspective, I don't mean to kind of put this cloud over this service, but I need to give a metaphor to it. Imagine if this many years later, the Twin Towers were still in rubble in New York City. That's what's happened. They're literally living with the rubble of what once used to be their wall. The Twin Towers, they were much more than buildings, right? They were a symbol of the power of this great nation. Imagine if we just left it there in rubbles. That's what the people of Jerusalem had done. They had lost all hope. They didn't feel that they could do it, that they could rebuild their twin towers. They could rebuild their wall. And when Nehemiah hears this, when Nehemiah hears the news that the people of Jerusalem, that God's people haven't even rebuilt the wall, they're still living in the mess that once was, it breaks his heart. It breaks his heart so much that he like instantly goes into tears. So my question to you today is, what problem do you see in this world that you think needs to be solved? Because often, God has wired us to see it as a problem because he wants us to do something about it. We have too many people who just see problems and complain about problems, but they never do anything about it. We have too many people who have too much time on their hands arguing on Facebook, okay? Too many people talking about what movie is really bad for Christianity or not for Christianity, or what political party, or what's happening here, what's happening there, and they're just putting in their input online. I call them keyboard activists. They're like, keyboard on, but they never do anything. They never actually get up and go make a difference. Nehemiah, he heard of this problem. It broke his heart, so he had to do something about it. What breaks your heart? Is it poverty? Is it human trafficking? Maybe you didn't know, but there's more slaves now, 2017, than ever in the history of the world. Human slavery is a real thing. Maybe human slavery breaks your heart. Maybe it's orphans. Maybe it's widows. Maybe it's special needs ministry. Maybe it's the work of the local church. Maybe the problem you see in this world is there's too many young people growing up without mentors. Whatever it is this morning, it's often that God has wired us to be broken over that thing because he wants us to do something about it. So if you're looking for your purpose today, maybe look no further than what's breaking your heart right now, because maybe God wants you to do something about it. The third place to find purpose is in a passion. What are you passionate about? What are you good at? Where are your strengths? What gifts has God given you? We can find our purpose often in the very way that God has wired us. Nehemiah was passionate about his people. He was a skilled leader. He was a visionary. He was a planner. Those were his strengths. So he went and fulfilled the purpose of his strengths. So what talents has God given you? Our potential as believers is limitless when our why collides with our passion and our strengths. Have you ever met somebody who's passionate about what they do? Ever met somebody like that? Like, when you hate waking up to go to work, they love it. Have you ever met somebody who loves going to work? It's really cool to watch these people. They seem like cuckoo, right? Because how could you love waking up that early and going to work? But they do. Passion does incredible things. Passion energizes us. Passion sets us apart. And it's often that what you're passionate about is a part of your purpose. But I want to take a moment here and make sure to say not always. And here's what I mean by that. You guys ever seen the American Idol auditions or X Factor auditions? They're really passionate about singing. But not everyone of them needs to be singing, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys like have that, am I allowed to laugh? Yes, you're allowed to laugh. You guys have seen this just like I have. They're really passionate. They want the microphone. They want the lights. They want to go up there and just make people cry with their vocals. But they make people cry, but not in a good way. So it's not always that our passion and our purpose collide, but it is often. Make sure what you believe your purpose is aligns with the gifts God has given you. Here's why. Because God has given you everything you need to do what he's called you to do. That's good preaching again, so I'm going to say it again. God has given you everything you need to do what he's called you to do. Stop comparing yourself to other people. God has uniquely appointed you to do something. He's uniquely wired and crafted you to do something. So go find that purpose in three places. In a person, Jesus Christ, in a problem, what breaks your heart? In a passion, what gifts do you have? And no matter what, as we go on this discovery for purpose, and I challenge you to do it, no matter what, look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's a great anchor for us this morning, whether you know your purpose or not. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I'm gonna say that again. Do it all for the glory of God. Amen. No matter what you do, maybe right now you're thinking about your life and you're like, wow, I don't know if I'm really living my purpose. I'm kind of just getting by. And I'm in this job just because I'm making good money, or I'm doing this just because I always thought that's what I was supposed to do. Maybe some of you right now, you're really challenged by what your purpose is. But here's what I want you to know. Look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians. He says, no matter what you do, and he names the most simple things, eating and drinking, even if it's so simple as eating and drinking, do it all for the glory of God. So if you're an accountant out there, do it for the glory of God. If you're a plumber out there, do it for the glory of God. If you're an entrepreneur out there, do it for the glory of God. If you're a homemaker, do it for the glory of God. If you're a student, do it for the glory of God. Amen. That is what we are called to do. And what's incredible about this is that as each of you discover and really begin to work in your purpose, Brave Church becomes the church it's supposed to be. Because Brave Church is not a building, friends. Brave Church is you. It's me. It's us. And as you grow and as you go deeper, so does Brave. So this week we have a couple action steps for you. Just two really simple action steps. Number one, consider your purpose this week. This week, pray. Ask God, your creator. Go to the one that created you to find your purpose. Ask him, God, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? And go to those three places. Go to Jesus. Go to a problem that breaks your heart. And go to a passion, the strengths that you have. Consider your purpose this week. Ask yourself those questions. Where am I finding my purpose? What breaks my heart? I can tell you right now what breaks my heart. The reason George wakes up in the morning, some of you don't know this, but being a pastor is an incredibly demanding vocation. Why would I choose that? Because what breaks my heart is people not knowing about Jesus. What breaks George's heart is the local church not being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. That breaks my heart. That's why I'm here today. That's why I'm standing on this stage. So this week, consider what your purpose might be. And the second is partner with the purpose of Brave. Look, friends, that second one, that isn't a ploy. I love how Pastor Ricky says this. He says that it's not about what we want from you, it's about what we want for you. And I found in my life that one of the very best ways for me to be inspired, for me to take it to the next level, for me to really move and work and live in my purpose is by being around other people who are passionately pursuing their purpose. So partner with the purpose of Brave, because here at Brave, if you couldn't tell, we're passionate about what we're doing. We believe God has called us to do something very unique in this city, in this state, in this world. So partner with us. Pastor Ricky told you exactly what to do earlier. If you did not do it, I challenge you this week, as you're trying to think about and consider your purpose, partner with our purpose. Just get moving somewhere. Pick up that card, that Easter Dream Team card. Fill it out. And just for this one day, join with us. Join with our vision. We're going to pass buckets around. You guys can pass the buckets around right now. Put those cards in there, those cards that you did fill out in Jesus' name, in faith. The cards you filled out along with your tithes and offering, you can drop it in the bucket as it goes by. And if you're not totally ready just yet, that's fine. If the bucket already goes by, you can drop it in a bucket on the way out. Partner with the purpose of Brave. We need people to help us in kids on Easter. We need help people to help with the egg hunt. We need people to help at greeting, and we need people to help parking. Because we're believing big things this year for Easter, amen? Partner with us at Brave. Hey, let's take it back to the very beginning. The one question that we're going to be talking about through this series. What are you holding on to that's keeping you from becoming the person you were meant to be? As we close today, I want everyone across this room to say this after me. And I want you to say it to yourself, not to your neighbor. It's easy to tell other people. I want you to say it to myself. Everyone say, I have a purpose. Do it again because you didn't believe yourself. I have a purpose. Try it again. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. We have a purpose. Consider your purpose this week. Partner with the purpose of Brave. Guys, we love you so very much. Thank you for joining us today. If you want to talk with me, shake my hand. I'm going to try and make my way over to the Brave tent, and you, as you guys are leaving, we love you guys. And next week, I'm excited. Next week, I got a fun talk in store. Next week, I'm going to be talking about the one weight that holds more people back from achieving their purpose than any other weight. Come back next week to find out. We love you guys. We'll see you next week.